Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 10th of our Great Quest webinars, the fourth one here on the labors of Hercules. Next slide, please, Astrid. As I had four webinars to discuss the 12 different labors of Hercules, I broke this series up each month into the logical way that was presented for me astrologically, that being three signs of the four elements each. And I've tried to discuss a little bit about the elements each month as we went into the particular labors. Since this is the last of the four Hercules webinars, I also want to briefly discuss the three modes of astrology. The characteristics of the signs are shaped by the fact that each sign represents a different combination of the four elements and the three modes. Modes describe the activity patterns and establish the axes and the crosses in our chart. Mutable signs are adaptable, they're versatile and serving, but they may also be too inconsistent. Esoterically, they develop the form life via experience. Fixed signs are steadfast, determined, yes, stubborn, but they may be too inflexible. Esoterically, they develop the soul through crises and testing. And cardinal signs are initiating, they're forceful, but they may lack follow-through with projects they start. Esoterically, they express directed, soul-controlled activity. Next slide, please, Astrid. Mutable signs, where the form life is developed. Gemini, developing control of the opposites. Virgo, nurturing the soul in the heart. Sagittarius, developing that one-pointed aspiration. And Pisces, developing soul consciousness. The synthesized axes will eventually work out. Gemini-Sagittarius axis, establishing control of the opposites and resolving duality into one at one-ment for spiritual use. Virgo Pisces, nurturing the soul within the heart and bringing it into conscious manifestation. Next slide, please. Fixed signs involve soul development. Taurus, developing the soul light. Leo, developing self-mastery. Scorpio, resolving conflict, duality, and overcoming desire and illusion. And Aquarius, developing group awareness and world service. The synthesized axes eventually work out as Taurus, Scorpio, using the wisdom of the light of the soul to overcome desire through right thought and action. Leo, Aquarius, self-mastery leading to group awareness and selfless world service. Next slide, please. The cardinal signs. Esoterically, it develops directed soul-controlled activity. Aries is the will to do and create, establishing mental control. Cancer is developing intuition and soul sensitivity. Libra, developing balance through mental control. And Capricorn, developing spiritual awareness, leading to initiation. The synthesized axes eventually work out as Aries Libra, establishing balance, mental control, and then soul control over the personality, and Cancer Capricorn, honing and nurturing the sensitivity and intuition of the soul in preparation for initiation, where the head and heart meet and the soul controls. Next slide, please. Okay, Today we're finishing up the elements, so here's a little bit about the air signs. Exoterically, air is intellectual, they're good communicators, they may seem too detached. Esoterically, the keys are the mind and duality. In Gemini, the mind causes duality to be sensed. In Libra, the supermind, duality overcome by equilibrium. And in Aquarius, the universal mind, duality resolved by synthesis. Air signs are masculine like the fire signs, that should say. It's yang energy, outgoing, expressive, and giving, and they represent the day. They're related to the 1, 3, 5, 7 ray line. They are compatible with the fire signs. Together they work out their issues through the axes and also through trine and sextiles, which are favorable aspects. Next slide, please. And the next slide, please. Okay, we've gone through this every time. Why do we study the Hercules myth? Because, as we're told in the book, the progress of a world disciple is illustrated in the heavens by the labors of Hercules going through the zodiacal signs. It is as though God had pictured in space his plan for the working out of the evolution of the human spirit back to its source. Next slide, please. Okay, so here we go. Gathering the golden apples of the Hesperides. As usual, Hercules faces the presiding one at the beginning of this third labor. If we look at these labors sequentially, remember that Hercules completed his first labor, capturing the man-eating mares, but he did so badly because he was too arrogant and it got his friend Abderus killed. With his second labor, capturing the Cretan bull, he had his success and he learned to ride the bull of desire and he took it to the holy place. So now he faces the presiding one for this third labor, gathering the golden apples of the Hesperides. Next slide, please. His teacher tells Hercules to be careful because the tree with the golden apples is guarded by the strength of 100-headed dragon and 3 maidens who have subtle wiles. He's also told he'll face 5 tests along the way, and each teaching him wisdom, understanding, and skill and opportunity. Watch well, his teacher tells him. And so he proceeds. Next slide, please. With confidence, Hercules goes forth, sure of himself, his wisdom, and his strength. He searches north, but doesn't find the tree, and no one he met in question knew where it was. He wandered all over, searching, yet no tree was found. Sad and discouraged, he continued searching. The teacher, watching from afar, sent Nereus to see if he could help Hercules. Nereus tried a variety of subtle ways to help, but Hercules failed to understand, and he ignored Nereus. Hercules failed the first of the 5 lesser tests of this labor. Then he turned south. He's still dreaming of quick success in this labor, and he meets Antaeus, the serpent, and wrestles with him. Thinking that he's near to the tree, Hercules hopes his strength will overcome his opponents so he can reach the apples. But he can't beat Antaeus, and he asks himself why. Where lies my fault? Why can Antaeus conquer me? Even when an infant, I destroyed a serpent in my cot. With my own hands, I strangled it. So why fail I now? Trying one more time with all of his might, he grasped the serpent with both hands and he lifted Antaeus high in the air. He could not overcome it when earthbound. He had to overcome the physical and lift it in the air to defeat it. Gemini is an air sign. It's a mutable sign, and glamour takes a variety of forms. It's appearance and not reality. And Taus, vanquished, speaks, "I come again in different guise at the eighth gate. Prepare again to wrestle." So he's warning Hercules that he's going to see him again in Scorpio. The watching teacher reported to the presiding one that the second of these minor tests had been passed. So confident, Hercules goes on, renewed with courage, and he turns to look in the west, where he meets disaster. Busiris, the great arch-deceiver, the son of the waters, is a close kin to Poseidon. He brings delusion to the sons of men through words of seeming wisdom, claiming to know the right truth. Hercules bought it completely, looking for the easy way, and he became trapped for a year to this false teacher. He grew weaker and weaker with this false teacher until one day Busiris chains Hercules to an altar. Finally, Hercules recalls some words that Nereus told him long ago, that truth and strength lies within himself. And when Hercules turns inward, he can evoke the power of the sons of men, who are also the sons of God. He is finally able to break his bonds, seize Busiris, and chain him to the altar. Hercules passed this test, finally realizing the importance of what Nereus had told him. Hercules resumes his search for the apples, chastened but wiser, and suddenly he hears a cry of distress. He's already behind in his search, so he has to think about what another delay is going to cost him. But with another cry for help, he springs into action and sped to help the brother that needed help. Prometheus was chained to a rock. The vultures were eating his liver and slowly killing him. Hercules frees Prometheus, chases the vultures off, and then tends to his ill brother until he is recovered. The watching teacher, silent up to this point, spoke to Hercules. "The fourth stage on the way unto the sacred tree is past. There has been no delay. The rule upon the chosen path, which hastens all success, is learn to serve." Hercules again resumes his search for the apples, north, south, and west. But so far, still no tree, no apples, and he's getting worn and weary from all of his travels. He hears from a passing pilgrim of a distant mountain in the east where the tree can be found. He heads that way and sees his goal, imagining his success at last. But again, he is stopped by a sense of distress. Hercules sees Atlas, struggling under the load of the world on his back, clearly in agony. Forgetting his search, Hercules rushes forward and removes the load from Atlas's shoulders. And in shouldering his brother's burden, the load rolled off of both men and they stood free. Before him stood the grateful giant, apples in hand, offering them with love to Hercules. The three sisters were also there with more apples, telling him the way to the apples is always through service. Before he left, Hercules returned the apples for those who follow. Returning home, his teacher congratulated Hercules and immediately sent him on his next labor. Next slide, please. there's first the mystic stage that we all go through, going inward for a long time, and then we're ready for the occult phase. We must become a man of action, and desire carries us into completing the tests of Gemini. We learn new things with each myth. Here we're told he gains knowledge through his five senses. The physical plane is the place where experience is gained, where the causes initiated in the world of mental effort must manifest and achieve objectivity, where contact is developed, and little by little the five senses open up new fields of awareness. Knowledge is the quest of the senses, and wisdom is the synthetic knowledge of the soul. Without understanding the knowledge, how do we apply the light of wisdom to the problems of life? The apples, like in the Garden of Eden, symbolically represent knowledge of duality, of good and evil, of the pole of opposites, the nature of the soul, good, and the form, evil if it hinders the soul. In his search for the golden apples on the physical plane, Hercules had to conquer glamour and illusion. For through spiritual aspiration, the disciple is very apt to be taken in by astralism and lower psychism. We see this in the myth as Hercules faces Busiris and is completely deceived. The test of glamour and illusion dispelled, he continues his search and finds delay with Prometheus. But as his teacher tells him, there has really been no delay. Serving and helping others hastens our progress. And then came the final test to help Atlas. Hercules is so overwhelmed by Atlas's suffering that he forgets his search for the golden apples. In self-forgetfulness, in his selfless act of shouldering the burden, he passes the real test. The whole of this story really signifies the lesson, which is the first that all aspirants have to master, and what one which is impossible to learn until the tests in Aries and Taurus have already been undergone. Then the physical plane, in the field of the brain, and in his waking consciousness, the disciple has to register contact with the soul and to recognize its qualities. He must no longer be the visionary mystic, but must add to the mystical achievement the occult knowledge of reality. Next slide, please. When contacted, especially in the early stages of our search, the higher self will manifest to us a flash of illumination, but it's too quickly gone, and we're left with a sudden realization of truth, so elusive, so fleeting, that at first we have trouble grasping it. As a hint dropped into consciousness in moments of at one pointed attention, when the mind is held steady and the emotions temporarily cease to control. In the case of a more advanced disciple who has established contact with his soul, a master will give a hint and disappear. He will make a suggestion and will say no more. It is for the disciple to act upon the hint as best he may and to follow up the suggestion should he deem it wise. Hercules has to work out his own issues until he does arrive at the knowledge about himself. He has to master his own lower vehicles and control his personality. Then the change happens as the immortal twin, the soul, increases in power and brilliance, and that of the mortal brother, the personality, decreases. At the beginning of his search, Hercules met Nereus, but he was not impressed, and so he wandered elsewhere, furiously seeking the satisfaction of his aspiration. At the close of his search, he meets Atlas, bearing the burden of the world, and is so impressed with the weight and responsibility and the load of Atlas that he forgets all about his own goal in search for the golden apples and endeavors to lift the burden off the shoulder of Atlas. When aspirants in the religious field and in the church, in the theosophical field, in the Rosicrucian field, and in the many groups to which they gravitate, have learned to forget themselves in service and to lose sight of their spiritual selfishness by helping humanity, there will be a much more rapid gathering of initiates through the portal onto the path of discipleship that leads from darkness to light and from the unreal to the real. As the myth states, for a long time Hercules could not conquer the serpent, but when he lifted it up high into the air, he finally prevailed. There is great truth underlying this symbolism. The air has always been regarded as the symbol or the element related to the Christ plane, called in the theosophical terminology the Buddhic plane. At the beginning of this labor, he contacts his soul as Nereus. At the close of the labor, having overcome much glamour, he achieves a greatly increased vision of his soul and sees it in the three aspects, the three maidens that offer him an apple. I'm going to mangle these names, and I'm sorry. Aegle symbolizes the glory of life and the splendor of the setting sun, the magnificence of manifestation on the physical plane. She gives an apple to Hercules, saying, "The way to us is ever through deeds of love." Eurythia keeps the gate, the soul, which is ever opened by love wisdom, and she gives to Hercules an apple marked with the golden word, service. Hesperus, the evening star, the star of initiation, typifies the will. She says to Hercules, "Tread the way, body, soul, and spirit, intelligence, love, and will." Visioned and contacted by the selfless aspirant through service. Next slide, please. Okay. Here's the recap of Gemini. Air sign, its quality is duality, love, wisdom, fluidity, control of every pair of opposites. Underlying love of the deity reaches our solar system through Gemini. Negative traits, inconsistency, indecisiveness, nervousness. Positive traits, versatility, enthusiasm, eloquence, intellect. Esoterically, it's the intermediate between the soul and body, depicted by the mortal and immortal twin, the dual aspect of the mind as it mediates between the higher and lower expression. Its polar opposite is Sagittarius. Exoteric ruler is Mercury. The esoteric ruler is Venus. Key words from the form angle, let instability do its work. And from the angle of the soul, I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. Okay, Astrid, I'm going to change over to me now. Okay, we're done with Gemini. Does anybody here have a Gemini ascendant, sun or moon, and they would like to describe how they feel this Gemini labor is working out through them? I don't see any hands. Does that mean I'm the only Gemini in the group? Well, I have a Gemini ascendant, and I think I see myself in many ways in this labor. I can get lost in some tangents. It took me many years reaching outward and focusing on other things, trying to learn too much before I actually stopped myself, looked within, and said, no. The Alice Bailey material is the material that resonates the most with me, and it's the true path that I want to proceed on. Esoteric astrology is the path that I want to proceed on. And all of my other occult books, all of my other astrology disciplines that I'm trying to learn are a distraction. Like Busiris was a distraction that weakened Hercules. And so I finally listened to my inner voice and concentrated on that. Okay, hold on a second here. Okay. Bibi has lost her audio. Let me see. Let me see a show of hands. Everybody else can hear me, right? Raise your hand if you can hear me. Okay, good, good. All right, thank you. Let me just take a minute and see if I can troubleshoot this. Well, it's going to make me... Never mind. She's going to try and work it herself, so she's logged off, and I hope that means she'll log in. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, that's how I see myself working with the Gemini. You know, you can go off in all these different tangents and all these different directions, but the bottom line is you have to listen to... your inner self, and my inner self led me back to what I feel is the work I was supposed to be doing this lifetime. So any comments or questions on that before we go back to Astrid and move on to the Libra lesson? Okay, Astrid, back to you. There we go. Okay, next slide. All right, Yvonne, you had a question?
Am I unmuted now?
Yes.
Joan and I, you know Joan from the astrology classes at the Seven Ray thing, but we were looking at your midheaven. It's in Pisces, and we thought, well, you're right on doing the Alice Bailey work teaching this, aren't you?
Yes, I'm trying.
I just commented on that. I don't know why I thought you were a Cancer, but I see here, you're Gemini and Leo.
Well, I have a stellium in Cancer, so I have some of that too.
Your moon's in Libra. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
We were just looking at your midheaven.
Yeah, I have a little bit of everything. Most of us do. Good to see you here, Yvonne.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, this one is Libra, the capture of the... Oh, man. Erymanthian boar. Oh, right. My Greek isn't what it used to be. Not that it was ever great. Okay, So, in the Leo labor, Hercules had success in slaying the Nemean lion. But in the Virgo labor, he had his worst failure yet when he slayed Hippolyte as she offered him the girdle. His teacher even refused to allow Hercules to return home until he had redeemed himself, which Hercules did when he rescued Hesione from the sea monster. So, while the disciple on this journey must always be on guard for errors of this particular magnitude, his failures are only temporary, and they constitute a mere delay in his spiritual mission. Fresh opportunities are going to occur. So now, Hercules faces the great presiding one, as he always does. And the presiding one says another labor must be carried out. Balance he needs, and judgment sound, and preparation for a major test and future service to the race of men. For this, let him prepare with care. And so Hercules embarks on his seventh labor. Next slide, please. As Hercules passed through the seventh gate, the power of the seventh sign passed through him. He didn't realize that he faced a dual test, the test of friendship and also of courage. He needed to seek a boar, and Apollo gave him a brand new bow to use, but Hercules didn't take it, because he had killed in error in the Virgo labor, and he did not want to repeat the error. So he left the bow behind and went forward on his labor with only his trusty club. He climbed the mountain seeking the boar and saw the fear and terror of the people around him. Higher and higher he climbed, and then he met his friend Pholus, a centaur. So he stopped to talk, and he ended up forgetting his task. Pholus called to Hercules, inviting him to have some wine. But the problem was, it wasn't Pholus's wine. It belonged to a group of centaurs and was a gift from the gods, not to be opened until the whole group was present. Along with another centaur, they feasted and drank, carousing and making a lot of noise. And that brought other centaurs from far and wide, all angry and outraged, and a battle took place. Hercules' two friends were killed, and he realized again that he had become an instrument of death. So he renewed his search for the boar. He followed the boar high up in the mountains, but it still eluded him. At night, he thought about his task, looking within for any subtle skills he might have to help. He set a snare and hid, lying in wait patiently, hour after hour. Finally, the boar emerged from its lair in search for food, and Hercules caught it in the snare. He released the savage boar from the snare, and then he wrestled and mastered it. And as he traveled down the mountain, rejoicing and singing and dancing, he drove the boar by the hind legs like a wheelbarrow. It was a merry sight for anyone to see, and everybody laughed at his antics. And so Hercules performed his seventh labor, and he returned to his teacher. The lesson of true balance had been learned, but his teacher advised Hercules to ponder on the lessons of the past and to reflect on their tests. Twice, he was told by his teacher, he had killed what he should have loved, and he needed to figure out why. So Hercules stayed within the city gates and prepared for what was coming, the mother of all tests in the Scorpio labor ahead. Hi, Yvonne, I see your hand up. Did you have a question?
No, I didn't know I put it up.
Oh, must have still been up from before. Okay, I'll put it down. Thank you. Next slide, please, Astrid. Libra has some extremes. It's Justice, a blind woman holding the scales of balance, blinded perhaps to the outward objective sight, so that the inner intuitive sight may divine where justice lies. It is an interlude comparable to that of quiet listening in meditation, a time of assessment of the past. Are the scales tipping wildly up and down, or are they balanced for you? Balance is needed, and it may swing from bias and prejudice to justice or judgment, from dull stupidity to enthusiastic wisdom. There may be intrigue, straightforward conduct. Is the Libran characterized by materialistic or by spiritual goals? We need to remember that the signs themselves all have specific purposes and lessons that they teach us. None of them are bad, and all have a good purpose. It's our receptivity and use of them that determines what we manifest. Before Hercules captured the boar, he got distracted and he sat down with Pholus to drink heavily. At this time, he was the soul of friendliness, seeking and finding pleasure. For Hercules, as for all who assume the Libran labor, the fumes of pleasure must be dissipated before the greater task of self-mastery is undertaken. This time, this led to tragedy for Hercules. This sudden interjection of catastrophe into the pleasure-seeking experience is harsh, but it's necessary for the growth of the soul. Without such tragedies, the potentialities of Libra remain dormant. The two good centaurs that Hercules killed are known as Chiron, good thought, and Pholus, bodily strength. The test was to show control of the emotional astral desire nature in whatever form it may take, and it is all the more powerful the more advanced a human being is. You cannot control or guide the desire nature by physical strength or by thought alone. You may succeed for a time, and then it surges back up. The only answer is to take the boar of desire up into the high mountains. It is on the mountaintops that all great revelations occur, where the mists of the valley disappear and illumination comes. Next slide, please. Hercules made a dire mistake. The teacher had told him to take time to eat, but Hercules took time for a drunken orgy with two wise old centaur friends. They opened a cask that was meant for a whole group. He took every precaution at the beginning not to kill the boar, but he ended up killing his friends. So circumstances and tests continue to crop up, even when we think we've cleared the path of pitfalls. He had to demonstrate his fitness to take the second initiation by balancing the pairs of opposites. The Libran weights and balances all things. This can make him appear hesitant and indecisive. He knows that there are innumerable gradations between black and white. He doesn't want any extremes. Halfway between heaven and earth, the Libran waits. Looking above, he sees the vision, the golden dawn, gilding a snow-capped mountaintop. Gazing downwards, he beholds the sloughs and the mire he must pass through. On the one hand, he thinks about the high ideals. On the other, he perceives them rejected. At this midway point, he must stand and work. If he rises towards the ideal world, he loses touch with common things. If he descends to the level of materialistic activity, he loses the precious perceptions that are the mainspring of his being. Between these two worlds, he is poised in order that he might gain understanding. an understanding that includes the highest and the lowest, the good and the bad, the lofty and the insignificant. This is compassion. With observation of the good and bad, the discernment of right from wrong, the glamours surrounding him are gradually weakened and dispelled. He sees more clearly and recognizes that man lives in a swirling mist of illusion, clinging to life as an end in itself. The Libran is not only sure he cares to take part in the aggressive struggle to make a living and to push his way forward belligerently to the place of power and prestige in the world. He concerns himself with other human beings and their struggle. The motive of service thus takes root in his life, a sense of service based on realistic appraisal of human nature. Not only does Hercules perform the task assigned, he makes the ferocious boar an object of ridicule. By slightly altering the perspective, many of the terrifying experiences of life may be transformed by a beneficent sense of humor. Much of what people regard with grave and serious earnestness has decidedly ridiculous overtones. The graphic description of Hercules driving the boar by its hind leg is symbolic representation of the soul directing the ungainly body. The relationship in which each aspect achieves due importance is characteristic of the more highly organized Libran. Thus is the principle of balance observed. Next slide, please, Astrid. Okay, and here we see the rundown on Libra. Quality equilibrium. It's an interlude where duality is known and the life of the soul and form is balanced. Negative traits, superficiality, detachment, unreliability, indecisive. Positive traits, tact, charm, diplomacy, harmony. Esoteric concept, the right use of the mind to discriminate between the pairs of opposites and find that narrow-edged balance, expressing right values, right human relations. Polar opposite is Aries. Exoteric ruler is Venus. Esoteric ruler is Uranus. Keyword from the angle of form, let choice be made. And keyword from the angle of the soul, I choose the way which leads between the two great lines of force. Okay, Astrid, I'm going to change it back to me. All right. Anybody here with a Libra ascendant, sun, or moon who would like to tell us how they see this Libra labor of Hercules working out through their own chart? Thank you, Yvonne. Let me find your chart here so everybody can see it. I'm doing so well at that. There we go. Can you guys all see that pretty good? Okay, please go ahead.
Libra is my sun sign, and this labor of Hercules I can identify with. I had a history of alcoholism. I've been through many drunken orgies. And I didn't kill any people, but I killed relationships. I killed my marriage. I killed a lot of friendships. And my life has been about balance. Humor, it says it's the only labor that has it ends with humor and laugh, which is great because humor is one of my best friends, not taking myself too seriously. But also about you have to raise it like the snake up to a higher level. It's like the Hydra. You have to go to a spiritual level to heal this, and this is what I've had to do, and this is why I'm in Moria Federation, to heal this, so my life now is about balance. So I can identify with this labor very highly. Thank you.
Thank you. That was excellent. You brought in all the elements that Hercules faced there, and we're told that it's also about friends, and you brought that in very well. That that's what you lost with the drunken orgies that you had. So, thank you for sharing that. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to say about Libra, or should we move on to Aquarius? Okay, let's go back to you, Astrid, and we'll move on to Aquarius. Next slide, please. The Aquarius labor is cleaning the Augean stables. Hercules faces the nine, or he faced the nine tests of the disciple in Scorpio, some of the hardest tests to go through. And to paraphrase the Scorpio key phrase, he was the warrior who did emerge from the battlefield triumphant. Then in Sagittarius, he faced the Stymphalian birds and was again triumphant as he became the one-pointed, unified, soul-infused personality. In Capricorn, he faced the test of initiation, killing Cerberus, guardian of Hades. It's interesting that in the Aquarian labor that Hercules has to free Prometheus again. Remember, he freed him in Gemini too. In both cases, he had to perform an act of service before he could be initiated into the next round of mysteries. In both cases, an air sign is involved and mental energy is being expanded. The sin of Prometheus, why the reason that he was being chained to the boulder, is that he stole fire from the gods and he brought it to humanity. And fire is also considered mental energy. So now, here he is, Hercules, facing the presiding one again, this time for the 11th labor. A single flame must light the outer 49, the great presiding one affirmed. So be it, the teacher answers. Having lit his own lamp, Hercules now must bring the light to others. Not long after, the teacher summoned Hercules. 11 times the wheel has turned, and now you stand before another gate. For long you have pursued the light which flickered uncertainly, then waxed to a steady beacon, and now shines like a blazing sun. Turn now your back upon the brightness. Reverse your steps. Go back to those to whom the light is but a transient point, and help them make it grow. Direct your step to Augeas, whose kingdom must be cleansed of ancient evil. I have spoken. And Hercules goes through the 11th gate. Next slide, please. When Hercules approached the realm of King Augeas, he found the stables hadn't been cleaned in years. The stench was horrendous, and the pastures were so amply dunged, as they refer to it, that no crops could grow. In consequence, a blighting pestilence was sweeping through the land, wreaking havoc with human lives. The king eyed Hercules suspiciously, not believing that he would clean the stables for free. Hercules wandered through the blighted place, and he saw many dead victims of the pestilence. He also saw two rivers flowing nearby, and an idea flashed in his mind. By great exertion, he diverted both of those streams so that they poured their waters through the dung-filled stables, and the rushing torrent swept away the long accumulation of filth and purged the fetid muck. Within a single day, the impossible task had been performed. When Hercules, quite satisfied with the results, returned to Augeas, the king scowled at him. He thought Hercules had tricked him, so he banished Hercules and did not give him the reward that the king had promised. Having performed his task, Hercules went back to his teacher. "A server of the world you have become," the teacher said when Hercules drew near. "You have gone on by going back. You have come to the house of light by yet another path. You have spent your light that the light of others might shine. The jewel that the 11th labor gives you is forevermore." Next slide, please, Astrid. Having common sense, which real initiates always have, Hercules contemplated the problem before him. The filth represents the accumulated dross that man has created on the mental, emotional, and physical levels. It creates separativeness. The two rivers, the water of life and the river of love, must be released so that the conditions in which people live is improved. But there is no appreciation for the advanced worker. People fear or mistrust what they don't understand. He broke down the walls surrounding the stables to divert the two rivers. He did not try to sweep them clean as other had, but he broke down barriers. Without effort on his part, the stables were cleaned. Now, in our present time, for the first time, humanity is this coordinated personality with a mind, emotional nature, and physical body that are functioning as one. And those symbolic stables have not been cleaned for humanity in years. This is the first thing that has to happen in the Aquarian age. We're just beginning to do it. We're just beginning to think in broad terms, to stop being exclusive. Emerging in the world are groups of men and women everywhere who are wrestling with themselves in order to be inclusive in their thought. Because in the Aquarian age, later in it, nations as we know them now will have to go. Nations fighting for themselves and for what they want, nation against nation. The cultivation of patriotism, which frequently cultivates hatred. It's got to go. We have to teach people that they are human beings and they have certain responsibilities. The breaking down of the barriers on a large scale has to be brought about by public opinion. And this is of slow growth and largely emotional, and that's the trouble. In the Aquarian age, we will have public opinion molded by thought and not by emotion. We shall have the world full of thinkers. We see it now. We see so many people rising up against the garbage and the filth that's going on everywhere. Thousands in the world are going to begin to think constructively along the right lines so that the foundation is going to be well laid for this Aquarian force that's beginning to pour in and will last for us approximately 2,500 years. We are now emotional, watery, fluid creatures that are yet unilluminated and struggling with this massive separativeness that we see. This is all part of that outgoing sixth ray Piscean energy. We are not yet able to be world conscious, to be in rapport with every phase of human thought. We shall someday learn to cultivate that Aquarian spirit. Let us try. Let us work on cultivating that spirit of non-separativeness, of love, of understanding, intelligence. free from authority, drawing out every human being we meet that the best that's in them. And if you do not draw out of them the best, then blame yourself and not them. If a person misinterprets you, it's because you are not clear. Self-reference is always going to be necessary for the Aquarian, but not that self-consciousness that we are all in right now. When we have broken down barriers of separativeness, then we let in the two rivers, the water of life and the river of love. In Aquarius, the disciple becomes the serving master. He can be a master because he has learned to serve, and he can serve because he is a master. The two go together. Next slide, please, Astrid. Hercules, being the initiate, is pledged to do three things, which can be summed up as the outstanding characteristics of all true initiates. If they are not present in some measure, the man is not an initiate. First one, unselfish service. We are no longer interested in ourself, but our consciousness begins being universal. There is nothing for us to do but to assimilate the troubles of our fellow men and to help them. Two, group work. That is something that we all know little about. The world is full of organizations and societies that are happy training grounds for ambitious people. But the average group is a hotbed of jealousies, people trying to impress others with the amount of their knowledge and the wonder of their self-sacrificing lives. This is not group work. Group work is standing alone spiritually in the handling of your own affairs with complete forgetfulness of your own self. Instead, you're working on the welfare of the particular section of humanity that we are associated with. It negates ambition. It negates the progress upward in any lodge or organization. It negates all assuming of official prerogatives. And the third thing is self-sacrifice. The meaning of self-sacrifice is actually making the self holy. It deals with the self of the group and the self of the individual. And this is the work of the initiate. Next slide, please. I want to take a moment here to talk about what exactly service is. There are 5 full pages on service in the Master Index of the Alice Bailey books. It's that important. I've got a few clips here from Treatise of White Magic. A study of right motive leads naturally to right service and often parallels in its subjective form the motivating consciousness. From service to an individual as an expression of love to the family or to the nation, there grows service to a member of the hierarchy, to a master's group, and thence service to humanity. Eventually, there is developed a consciousness of and service of the plan, and a consecration to the underlying purpose of the great existence who has brought all into being for the fulfillment of some specific objective. In Dyna II, it defines service as a scientific process. Service, I would remind you, is a scientific process calling forth all the soul powers into full expression on the physical plane. If a man is truly serving, he will perforce draw upon all the resources of spiritual strength and light and all the wisdom and directing power of his soul. because the task to be done is always too big for the personality. Some of the world's greatest servers are men and women who are very close to the spiritual hierarchy and working under its direction, inspiration, and impression, but who know nothing of esotericism, who do not recognize the hierarchy in their brain consciousness, and they remain unaware of the masters of the wisdom. One of the tragedies today of the esoteric world is the vast amount of facts in the possession of esoteric students and the piling up of knowledge anent the hierarchy and its personnel. But the problem here is too much building up of self-knowledge without using it wisely in service to others. And another place in Dyna 2, I would suggest the following experiment in subjective attitudes. That, in the last analysis, is a definition of meditation. The end of all meditation is concerned with the attitude of the personality to the soul. This is self-control. The attitude of integrated man to humanity. This is service. And the attitude of the disciple to the hierarchy. This is intuitional sensitivity. So, here's a thought, parting thought on service from this particular labor. Unselfish service is not the service that we render because we are told that service is the way to liberation, but service rendered because our consciousness is no longer self-centered. Next slide, please. Okay, and here we go with the rundown for Aquarius. Quality, the will to serve, first the lower self and then the higher self. World service. Negative traits, unpredictable, inconsistent, detached, positive, friendly, humanitarian, intelligent. Esoteric concepts. Distributing the energies of life and love, group awareness, group responsibility, universal consciousness, universal relationships, and unselfish service. Polar opposite Leo. Rulers, exoteric Uranus, esoteric Jupiter. Keyword from the angle of the form, let desire in form be the rule. And from the angle of the soul, water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. Okay, Astrid, I'm going to take it back. Okay, any Aquarians out there who would like to share how they feel that this labor relates to their Aquarian ascendant, sun, or moon? I know there's some Aquarians out there. Okay. Any Aquarians in my... There we go. Please go ahead, Brenda. Let me pull your chart up.
Yeah, this is all new to me. So, but just in doing this labor, I can see that throughout my life, I've, as an Aquarian, run forward. Whether that be ambitiously or now looking for esoteric knowledge or finding the light within me and thinking that people are behind me coming also with me in that expectation, to turn around and to find that they're not coming and that I do need to go back. I don't know if that is how it is related in there, but I have specific my family, who I'm pretty much estranged from because they're so different from me. Yet in doing this, continually I go back and I try and, you know, fit into their life of racism and not and judgmentalism and all that sort of thing. But just, and I keep going back to try and think that I can share my light, as this would put it. And now today in doing this, I'm thinking, well, maybe I do need to go back because that is where the service is, because service is in every moment, not, like you say, going out and helping, you know, at an orphanage or whatever. Is that right?
It can be. You know, there's... we do go back and we do shine our light on the area. You know, DK tells us repeatedly that we're in the circumstances that we're in. We're in the family that we're in. We're in the work situation because of the work that we can do with them. And it seems that within yourself, you have found, you said you continually try to reach back. It upsets you when they're not responding, but you know, that's part of this. Remember, Hercules was not appreciated. What the labor tells us is that they fear us, they don't understand us, but we're still supposed to work in service by trying to shine our light on them.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like some of the issues that you were discussing are the separative issues that they're exhibiting, and that again is one of the issues with this sign, is the inclusiveness and overcoming that separativeness. So it sounds like the right circumstances that you need to shine the light on.
Yeah.
Could I just make a comment on that, please, Bill?
Yes, please.
Yes. It's Leonie here. I'd just like to comment on that because I have real family issues as well, and I have pondered my service to my family. I have Saturn on my third house of siblings, and Saturn is in my eighth house of inheritances, and the trouble with my family, both my siblings and my extended family, came about when my father died, and there was land which was inherited, and then a big battle has taken place in the family since then over this land and the inheritance. So I found what I've had to do, because there have been court cases involved, is try and stand for fairness and for really what is fair, and for my higher principles of being inclusive. And I've been really attacked by some of the family and have tried in the past to reconcile in a way, but there's a point I made a decision that there are just some I cannot reconcile with. The gulf in our ideas, principles, is just too far. So I just work on the inner side, because our greatest contribution is really at the soul level. And we have a group soul, families have a group soul, and if we stand in love, if we stand in inclusiveness, if we forgive and hold our heart open at that level, I find that that is perhaps where we can contribute most. There have been some of the family members I've decided not to contact again unless the contact comes from them, then I will deal it, and I'm really happy with that. So I just thought I'd like to add and give another insight into the very interesting question that you raised about service and family.
Thank you. That's a very good point
thank
that you bring
you.
Out.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, that is a very good...
I just wanted to say thank you.
Go ahead, Brenda. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying I wanted to say thank you, Leonie. That's, very helpful.
Yes, I'm just a little bit more for those who don't know me. I come from a Polynesian background, and we have a really wild Polynesian family. It's Rei 4, fourth root race. And so when they go to battle, it can be quite, I mean, it can be physical. In our fights over this land, men and women have actually physically attacked each other. I've not been involved in that, thank goodness. So it's right full in your face. So there are some things, but the most painful aspects of it for me are violations of fairness and human rights. For example, the oldest member of the family, my father's brother, who is considered to be the elder in the family, is not a just person, and it's been very, very painful to see the road that he's taken the family down. So I've had to really examine where I stand, and I have really, my esoteric principles and really heart principles have helped me there, just to remind myself that, and sometimes family members, that it's for the good of the family as a whole that is the most important, not allegiance to somebody, a leader who is, in my opinion, and you know, others think the same way, is not fair. And so it's been a great test on me. So, you know, this is it. I've got, and for me, I have realised what Saturn has done, because I've tried to disengage. Karma has not let me disengage. I'm bound to them by this family. I'm a trustee on it. And so I would like to just walk away and get on with my esoteric life. And so I just minimised my contact with some of them and do what I can to help help the family through some of their difficult moments. But I live in Australia, and all the rest live in New Zealand, so the distance has helped me keep a detached, more observational type of role. So it's not easy, and I was really pleased when you raised that comment, because it gave me an opportunity to really unload a little bit about my own problems. So thank you for that. That's all, Bea.
Thank you. I really appreciate the dialogue of this. And, you know, the thing that you said there about you can't deal with them as people, but you can deal with them and recognize your responsibility to the soul of the group, I think that's extremely important. So thank you very much for sharing that dynamics.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Astrid, back to you, and let's finish. I've got a couple of follow-up slides, since this is the last webinar in our series. Next slide, please. There we go. So I know I've gone through this every single time. I think I presented a little different each time, but I would like to recap exactly why it's important that we study the Hercules myth. The progress of Hercules from the mental plane through the emotional plane and out into the physical plane manifestation shows us a synthetic picture of the work done by every disciple who is a son of man and also a son of God. It is the work that can be arduous, slow, and carried forward under great difficulty. Often it is done in blind ignorance of the forces released and the results to be achieved. But step by step, the aspirant is led along the path of self-knowledge and development. His character and nature are tested and tried until the qualities which characterize the form can be transmuted into those which reveal the soul. Next slide, please, Astrid. We've seen this before, too. Progress through the signs. The first four are preparatory signs. He's equipped with the faculty of the mind in Aries, with desire in Taurus, arrives at his essential duality in Gemini, and enters the human kingdom in Cancer. The four signs of the physical plane struggle. Self-consciousness and individualism emerge in Leo. Nurturing of the Christ within in Virgo. trying to balance the pairs of opposites in Libra, and then overcoming illusion in Scorpio. And then the four signs of achievement, going straight for the goal in Sagittarius, scaling the mountain of initiation in Capricorn, becoming the world server in Aquarius, and the world savior in Pisces. Next slide, please. Hercules sets out confident, little realizing the magnitude of his tasks. He is unprepared for failure. He's not only impulsive, but he's not always successful. He fails and he has to reduce some labors. In some cases, he finishes the labor, but does it badly. He is still susceptible to glamour and illusion. He is solidly on the path of discipleship and set on performing 12 acts of service for humanity. Next slide, please. And a recap of something else we've talked about, the link between the myth and the sign. By combining the astrological and the symbolical story, the tests of everyday life of a disciple are shown to us via the sign in which the myth takes place. Each sign subjects the disciple to influences of certain distinctive forces and provides him with certain tendencies. When understood, the meaning of the test emerges. How the moon sign labor describes the lessons of our past. How the sun sign labor describes the challenges of our personality. And how the ascendant sign points to the soul qualities that we are to cultivate. Next slide, please. And so, thank you all for participating in the first year of our Great Quest webinar series. We hope you enjoyed all 10 in this series. They are all recorded and they all can be found with the other student webinars there on Makara. We hope that they have helped you understand your Great Quest study material better, and that they've also helped you establish some group cohesion with each other, as we've talked about our charts during some of these webinars. So we're done with them for this year, and we will start the Great Quest webinar series for Great Quest 2 beginning in January of 2016. Okay, I see a question here, or maybe several. Thank yous from several of you. Well, you're very welcome, and we thank you for your participation. So, unless there's any other questions or comments, I will say good evening to some, good morning to others, and have a nice day, everybody. Leonie, would you like to say anything before we...
Yes, I would just like to say that I found it was quite a privilege to actually put on these webinars. It's the first time, I've really participated in them, and it's just another tool for teaching, and which is why we've made the videos on them we're putting up. But it falls really flat if we don't have the interaction with students. So I would just like to say I know that some of you have been turning up frequently, and I so appreciate, we all do, BL, myself and Astrid, who's helping as well, we all appreciate when you turn up, and we always look at the names and very pleased to see you all, especially of you being coming regularly and that. So just another thank you from me, appreciate it very much, and I hope that we also see your names again next year. It'll be a real thrill for me and BL if you turn up as well. That's all I have to say, BL.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Please go ahead, Yvonne.
I just wanted to thank you and say it was beautiful and inspirational.
Thank you.
Thank you, and you're welcome. Okay, well, if there's no more questions or comments, okay, we've got a couple more thank yous, and a very nice one here from Rachel. I have found that they provide clarity and support the work done through the meditative work. So thank you very much for that. That was our goal, so I'm glad to see that worked. So, okay, well, thank you, everybody, and bye.